If you think we're on the run, we are the boys.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Dad's Army Podcast. Today is Sunday the 23rd of December 2007. Happy Christmas. Hope you're having a wonderful Christmas and festive period. We've got a great show lined up for you today. We have, amongst other things, details about the new Dad's Army stage play. We've got all of the dates and all of the venues that it will be playing between February and June time in 2008. We also have an interview with Stuart Wright, who is the town councillor in Thetford, who is behind the plans to have a permanent homage to Arthur Lowe in a form of a statue sitting in the town centre of Thetford. So we have got an interview with him coming up shortly. We've also been contacted by the BBC, who would like some Dad's Army fans to appear in a TV programme that they're recording next year, so your opportunity potentially to get on television. And lastly, we've got our featured episode discussion, which this week is My Brother and I. This is episode 13 of the Dad's Army Podcast.
Hi James, how are you?
Hello Tony, not too bad this evening, thank you. How are you after your week off?
I'm fine, thank you very much. I've got to say, one of my friends takes the mickey out of us two saying hello to each other at the start of the podcast. And he did a very good mickey take of it, and as I heard it I thought, yeah, we'll have to say something different in the future.
Well, I'll tell you what then, just for him, next time we'll come out with something incredibly innovative. Alright, we've got a month or so until the next one, so we'll come up with something interesting.
Looking at a picture on my internet screen of Mr. Bill Purchley with a red medal in his hand, which I think is an MBE. Do you know any more about this?
Now, the news broke about Bill Purchley getting an MBE for charitable services some time ago. It was back in June or July this year, I think. But he only collected the award from the palace a couple of weeks ago, and we haven't had an opportunity to discuss it since. So, congratulations, really, to Bill Purchley on his MBE.
No, he's been interviewed by a few people, hasn't he? But do you know anyone personally who's interviewed him recently?
Not anyone personally. There was one particular newspaper, the Petersfield Post, who reported an interview that they asked Bill to contribute to, and Bill actually explained a little bit about his conversation with the Queen. And I'll read the article because it's only short. It's entitled "Queen Was Dad's Army Fan," says Bill. Bill Purchley has spoken out about being given his MBE, saying the Queen was a fan of Dad's Army. The 81-year-old, who played the grumpy air raid Warden Hodges in the classic BBC sitcom, collected an MBE for services to charity. He said, "They should be playing the Dad's Army theme, who do you think you are kidding? And I knew she was a fan because I've done a couple of shows in front of her. She said, was it fun making Dad's Army? She said it looked like it. I said, yes, it was, you know, it's just one of those things that happens in your life. I've been very lucky, and hopefully I've been able to put something back into the people who are less fortunate." Bill said his late wife had championed him to get one of the prestigious gongs. "My late wife started it with a great friend of hers, and it grew from there, and suddenly in June, I've been given an award," he explained. And that's where the article finishes, yeah.
So the Queen is a fan?
Apparently so. I know the Queen Mother was always reported to be a fan. Of one particular episode, it was the Royal Train, I think, because I think her husband was referred to in it.
It was King George who was meant to be on the train, I think, wasn't it?
Oh, there you go.
So, yeah, Queen Mother's, husband.
You may have heard in the news last weekend about plans to erect a statue of Captain Mannering, played of course by Arthur Lowe, in the town of Thetford, where the vast majority of the location shooting was done. I'm now joined by the man behind the plans, Thetford Town Councillor Stuart Wright. Welcome to the podcast, Stuart.
Thank you.
How did these plans come about?
Well, we've been doing these Dad's Army tours around the Thetford location since 2004, and there's been growing interest since we started. In 2004 we did 12 coach parties, 2005 18, and then following year 25, we're up to 30 coach parties a year now. So as you go around, you think that you ought to have a photo opportunity for people, and why not have your picture taken next to Captain Mannering? So I put the proposal, I got a local artist to draw up an artist impression in the location I'd hoped, and put it forward to the town council, and they backed me all the way. So we're on for a launch to get the money now.
And the town council were completely unanimous in this proposal, I believe, weren't they?
Yes, they were.
There was, because I seem to remember, well, I can't remember how long ago it was now, but when there was a proposal to raise a statue of Thomas Paine, there was a resignation, I seem to think.
Oh, there was a complete furore over that one, yeah.
But I think it just shows how good Dad's Army, or how well Dad's Army is held in people's affection if there was no objections raised at any point. I think that's great. So what's the current state of play? How close are we to actually seeing Arthurlo?
Well, I'd set myself a 2-year timescale, and obviously what's happened so far is just run away from us, really. I've only put it to the town council. There's a local journalist in the audience that night, and he ran a story in the local Eastern Daily Press. From that, the Nationals and the Press Association picked it up, and then it went on to national radio and has been covered in all the national papers. David Croft indicated to the local journalist he was behind the project. Jimmy Perry indicated on 5 Live Saturday evening that he was enthusing about it, and I've had an email from Arthurlo's grandson to say that he's behind the project.
One of the things I was going to mention was that he's got some very high profile public support, and I've heard both Jimmy Perry and David Croft give their support to you. Have you actually spoken to them, or is it something which they're advocating just in public when asked about?
So I haven't actually spoken to them yet, so I'm scheduled to speak to David in the near future, and hopefully we'll get some kind of accreditation to the launch of the appeal.
I mean, you've obviously been very involved in Dad's Army for a couple of years now, overseeing the tours that you mentioned. Have you always been a keen Dad's Army fan?
I've always watched the programme, looking for the Thetford locations. Being a Thetford lad, born and bred, I remember them filming here in the 70s, and I've got some photographs of me on the marketplace watching them film. So, obviously, I've not been a real avid fan, but I always watched the programme. And so when we started doing the tours, they asked for volunteers to become a tour guide. I thought, well, I'll help out now and then. And snowboarded, and I ended up doing about 80% of the tours. And it wasn't until last year that we've recruited another half dozen guides. We're now up to 8 guides, which means that we can service the demand that's ever-growing.
The tours have always been popular, and I went on one some time ago now, but I'm aware that you attract interest from people or followers of the show, not just from the UK, but from overseas as well.
We've had people from France, Australia, Canada, coming around to retrace the footsteps, and it's always difficult unless you can remind people of what the episode in question was or about the Thetford locations, because as many of your listeners are aware, a lot of the open space was on the battle area to the north of Thetford, which is still a military training area which can't be accessed.
The reaction certainly within the media has been very positive. What's the reaction of the local community like? Are they completely behind you as well?
All the locals I've spoke to think it's a great idea and will bring tourists into the town. The local Anglia Television were filming recently, and they've been doing a vox pop survey of passers-by, and they generally seem to have a positive response. So I think it's, as I say, Dad's Army is very affectionately held by those people, so I think we'll be okay.
I also understand that you have a museum, Dad's Army Museum, opened a couple of weeks or so ago now. Perhaps you could tell us a little bit about that too.
Yeah, the museum really is a display area more than a museum. You know, we're not really trying to compete with the setup at Pressingham. It's more to complement and to put on display the photographs that we had given to us. In 2005, we did a DVD recounting all the extras and their memories of the series, and we used that as a promotional tool to go around to coach companies and then say, why not come visit Thetford? So we've had these photos sitting up in the loft now for a couple of years, and I was approached by a friend whose mother used to keep the Anchor Hotel when they were filming, and he presented me these 4 pictures. He said, you can have these as long as they go to a good home. And I said, well, I'll try to do better there. I'll get them displayed. So I approached the town council and said, oh, you know, I want a display area of some kind to put these photographs, ever-growing collection of photographs we've got. And they offered the bottom of the Guildhall, where the Thetford Fire Station used to be until the 1960s, so it's like a garage area where the fire engine was, plus a little office space to the right. And what we've done there is, in the little office space, has done a mock-up of a mannering office, and then in the main body, with one corner, we've got a mock-up of a home front, a kitchen area, a memorabilia from the time, and then we've got the display about the Thetford Home Guard, and then in terms of Dad's Army artifacts, we've got a photograph staff of the authorised book of Keith Eldred, who was the Thetford Music and Drama Society, when he had a party round there with all the cast and crew. It was a collection of photographs that we put together with Dad's Army Appreciation Society. Some length of cine film have come out of the woodwork, which we've taken a couple of stills from, and it's the Dad's Army jigsaw of the mob filming on the Thetford Guildhall steps. But each day something new seems to come out of the woodwork, so it's an ever-growing collection.
Yeah, it sounds like it's very much a cross between Dad's Army memorabilia and actual memorabilia from World War II, which of course reflects how the series was made. You know, there was it was a comedy set in an extremely serious scenario, and both the comedy elements and the war elements were treated with equal status almost.
That's right. You know, people obviously initially I think viewed it quite dimly as taking the rise out of the Home Guard, but in the end it became very much a tribute to the Home Guard.
If people wanted to find out more information concerning both your plans, I mean, you mentioned earlier on there's a drawing of the proposed statue. Is there somewhere that they could get hold of a copy of that, either online?
What we could do is we could put that on the Thetford Tourism Heritage website, www.explorethetford.co.uk. So that people could have a look at that. We have the Tourist Information Centre in the town, which would be able to organise any tours that people may be interested in. The museum, at the moment, we're going to open as part of the guided tours as we walk round. But if we get sufficient volunteers and there's sufficient demand, then we'd possibly look to open it at weekends during the summer or when we've got special events on in the town. But the Thetford Tourism phone number is 01842 820 689. But I'll try and get a picture of the statue put online so that people can have a look at it.
That'd be great. Well, Stuart, thank you ever so much for taking the time to speak to us. Best of luck with the plans for the statue and for the museum, and thanks for taking the time to speak to us.
Okay, thank you very much indeed.
You're listening to the Dad's Army Podcast.
And thanks go to Stuart Wright for spending the time talking to us about his plans for the statue and the museum. So, an immortalised version of Arthur Lowe, Tony, in the middle of Thetford. Good idea?
I think it's an excellent idea. I think it would be an even better idea to have it in my lounge.
Right, okay.
I would love to have it there.
Yes, okay, I think you might have a job getting the town council to give unanimous approval for that.
I wouldn't want lots of Dad's Army fans traipsing through my house, though. I wouldn't be up for that.
No, but having an immortalised version of Arthur Lowe in Thetford is, I think, a good idea. I'm certainly going to help tourism to the town.
Moving on, we know that Jimmy Perry's given an interview to the Echo recently. James, I understand from you that there's a bit of a guidance rating on the interview.
Yeah. You haven't had a listen to this yet, have you, Tony?
Not yet.
No, it's an exceptionally good interview. It's a very open and candid conversation that Jimmy has with Viv Hardwick, who's the reporter from the Northern Echo. It's about a 20-minute long interview, and Jimmy's language, shall we say, is very colourful. So if you do watch it and you're offended by certain colourful metaphors, then be warned beforehand. Here's a short clip.
If you'd have brought the script for Dad's Army to the BBC as a young spark in 2007, do you think it would be hitting the screens now?
Not a chance. Not a bloody chance. Listen, I've got to say this because you want the full facts, don't you?
Yes.
And if you want to know what Jimmy Perry is going to be honest about, then you can go directly to the Northern Echo website, which you can click on the link on our webpage, and you can listen to the interview in full.
Okay, Caliber Productions, production of the Dad's Army stage plays. We've got some new dates for it in 2008, James, yeah?
Indeed, yes. We've got 17 new dates. It begins touring next February, and we can exclusively release whereabouts the tour is going. And as I said, it's going to be a bit of a long list, so I shall start off at the first venue, which is, as you already know, is going to be the Hackney Empire in London. Following that, it goes to the Grand Theatre at Swansea, followed by the Grand Theatre at Blackpool. It goes to Poole and plays at the Lighthouse Theatre. Then moves on to Coventry, the Belgrade Theatre, then the Theatre Royal in Plymouth, then the Mercury Theatre in Colchester in Essex, and then it moves to the Grand Opera House in Belfast.
And from there, we're in April by this point, so New Theatre Oxford, Alexandra Theatre in Birmingham, Marina Theatre in Lowestoft, Devonshire Park Theatre in Eastbourne. They're all still in April, those ones. The Opera House in Buxton, we're into May now. Key Theatre, Peterborough. The Auburn Arena in St Albans. Theatre Royal Newcastle. That takes us up to the end of May. And then, and I just clicked on the wrong thing, sorry. June is just one in June, and that's the Malvern Theatre.
In Malvern.
Probably.
I think. I don't know where Malvern is. But that's the complete list for the 2008 leg of the tour. We've been contacted by a chap from the BBC called Adam, who is doing a little bit of research in order to try and find some Dad's Army fans who have been at some point in the Army to take part in recording of a TV programme that he's recording next year. His email that he's asked me to read out is as follows. Comedy Decades is a comedy archive programme airing on UK TV Gold in 2008, featuring comedians, celebrities and members of the public talking about their favourite decade of comedy from the 1960s to the present day. As part of the show, we are looking for a group of Army officers who would be happy to chat to us about Dad's Army. For this, we'd like to interview a group of four or five people for an hour in January. If you're interested, or you know some people who would love to do it, please email leebull@bbc.co.uk, and Lee Bull is leah.bull@bbc.co.uk, and she will get back to you with more details. It will be a lot of fun. So if that applies to you, or if you know someone who really likes Dad's Army, who has got a history in the forces, then perhaps you could contact the BBC at that address, and you never know, you might end up finding yourself on television next year.
And finally, if you're listening to this podcast on the day that we put it on the internet, then tomorrow, Monday the 24th, The Love of the Orange is one of the Christmas special episodes, is on the telly, 6:45 p.m. BBC Two, and all of these that I'm talking about are BBC Two. Christmas Day, put the telly on at 8 p.m. to listen to Turkey Dinner. Friday the 28th of December, put the telly on at 6:30 in the evening, and that'll be, and I can't read my handwriting, it's the movie. It's the Dad's Army movie. It's not as good as the TV episodes. So if you're going to watch them on any day, I'd say put it on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day in the evening to BBC Two.
Do I take it out from that comment, Tony, that you're not a big fan of the movie?
No.
I like the movie. I have to say, it's good. We'll have to do a podcast on the movie so we can share our views on that. But I think that's got some wonderful moments in it. I really do. So
he gets a two.
Gets a two. You've marked it already, have you? We're just about to go into our discussion of our featured episode this week, which of course is My Brother and I, and that was actually on television yesterday, so that was on at 6:20 on BBC Two Sunday.
If you're a Doctor Who fan, you can go back in time and watch it.
Indeed. If not, then you just have to watch the DVD that's been released, or have to wait until it comes around next year.
Could have the pleasure of meeting Captain Mannering's brother.
Well, as a matter of fact, I don't think he's been invited.
For goodness sake, Godfrey's son, have you lost all the little wits you used to have? Mannering's brother is the black sheep of the family. He is the skeleton in the cupboard. If he comes to the party, Mannering will be exposed to the world as the fraud that he is. Did he hear me? Exposed to the world!
You just heard a clip from the 1975 Christmas special, My Brother and I. This was notable for a number of reasons. First of all, it was the second longest episode of Dad's Army ever. The only one longer was the 1971 Christmas special, which was Battle of the Giants. What do you think, Tony, about the length? Do you think that actually impacts on how the story rolls out, or doesn't make any difference to you?
Well, I'm glad you said that, because I thought this was a standard half an hour, but I thought it seemed to last a lot longer than usual, so... Was it three quarters of an hour?
No, it was 40 minutes. It was 40 okay. minutes. I mean, out of the three Christmas specials, there was only one episode which was half an hour, the normal duration, which was The Love of Three Oranges. Brother and I was 40 minutes, and Battle of the Giants was a massive 60 minutes. So did you feel it was slightly slower paced?
No, I thought the whole 40 minutes was used up quite well. Having said that, I'm not too keen on Battle of the Giants, which lasted an hour. So, no, this one did well, I think.
Yeah. In terms of the opening of the episode, did you note anything there? The opening, I think, is about 7 minutes, whereby they're just on parade again. Any particular good points there?
Obviously, Mannering being worn out, being quite tired, and pretending otherwise.
That's a running joke, you know. I thought of at least two other episodes where he's done that before, and that's Come In Your Time Is Up, which is where they went on a camping holiday, with ended up having scouts everywhere, and they were doing some PT there, and I think Mannering was saying, you know, everybody's out of breath. And there was another episode early on, I think it was one of the black and white ones, and I can't remember which one it was now. But that seems to be a running theme.
Jonesy says, can the men, I forget exactly what he says, but can they have a bit of a breather? And while Mannering is so worn out, you can hardly say it, but he says, oh, if you think they need it.
It's just Mannering thinking that no one else can tell that he's as exhausted as the rest of them, really. One of the standard jokes, also, that has a slight variance on this one, is where Mannering says attention, and just listen, rather than watch for Jones to be late, just listens, and you hear the Jones come in a little bit late, and Mannering says, thank you, or something along those lines, and I thought that was a novel twist on a very standard set piece.
Yeah. It was also, it wasn't standing to attention this time, it was stand at ease. That was another difference.
Thank you.
But it's done very nicely, and Jones's expression on his face.
I think it's good. Talking of expressions on their faces, right at the very outset, I think one of the very first lines is something along the lines where Mannering says, come on, Godfrey, keep him up. And the look on Arnold Ridley's face, it gives Mannering a real look, or a real glare, that is quite out of character with what you would think for Godfrey. I mean, if you get a chance, go back and have a look at that. It's right at the very beginning of the episode, but it's a look of fire.
So, I might do it now while you're talking to me, so I might not be listening.
Okay, well, thanks. Moving into the office where Wilson has been sitting reading Pike's comic, I think this is all quite a clever little plot device, really, whereby, you know, they're looking to try and introduce the subject of alcohol and booze into the episodes, and they do it through Pike's, you know, letter into Hotspur. And I like the way in which, you know, it leads Mannering to say booze is, you know, we've all liked a tipple in our family, but no one, or we all knew when to stop. And clearly, yeah, that sets up a major parody or paradox for the remainder of the episode.
There's a lot of pomposity in this episode there, Mannering and the drink being one, and obviously there's a lot about his father being a master tailor, and of course he's nothing of the sort.
Nope, that turns out, yep.
This whole episode is based on Mannering's pretending to be something he's not.
It is, but I think it's also countered quite well. I mean, there were two little office scenes in this episode. The first one is where he has all of Jones's section in talking about what they're going to do for the sherry party, and the second scene is a little bit later on when it's just Wilson and Mannering, and they're talking about Barry Mannering, and eventually he phones in, and that's where, you know, there isn't any pretense anymore. Although there's the first part, there's a lot of pomposity in terms of, well, my family know when to stop drinking. He doesn't actually say, oh, you know, I was wrong or I was lying earlier. He just accepts the fact that Wilson is becoming aware. And I think that probably reflects the closeness of the two characters.
Yeah, and although Mannering is very honest when he talks about two boys growing up, and one of them was a shy, lonely one standing in the corner of the playground.
Yeah.
He says, that one was me.
Just in case Wilson was in any doubt.
He's very honest at that point.
I love those scenes, and I think it seems to be common. There was one in The Love of Three Oranges as well, where they're just sitting down talking to each other. I mean, I think in Three Oranges it was bath enamel, if I remember rightly, and this time round it's... You delve into his childhood, and I think that's the only time that Mannering talks about his childhood if you ignore the references to his schooling, which come up in a number of different episodes.
He had a fight to get into grammar school and he had to work even harder to stay there.
Yes, and since you quoted it, do you know what episode that's from?
Oh, no.
It's A Wilson Manager, I believe.
Yes.
I'm not sure, but I believe it is. I've mentioned many, many times in the past that I like the serious scenes within Dad's Army, and we get quite a few here. I mean, we've just touched on one. And, of course, we'll get into talking about Barry Mannering in a little bit more detail in a second, but there's two scenes in which Barry Mannering feature. One with Fraser on the train on the way down to Warmington, and it's about a three-minute conversation that they have that you could construe as fairly straight. You know, it's slightly comic, but it's got dramatic overtones, really. It's a proper conversation between the two characters. And then later on, certainly the second scene with Barry Mannering and George Mannering talking, and that's a slightly longer scene, and that's much, much more serious. That is where you can see the real quality, I think, of Arthur Lowe coming out. But those are the two serious parts that I really enjoy. In terms of the actual character of Mannering's brother, Barry, what do you think of him? Do you like the character?
Yeah, I think he's brilliant. I mean, the first thing I notice is that the way they've made him look different is he's got some more hair. He's got more hair than George has got. So they've stuck a toupee on his head when he plays Barry Mannering.
Yeah.
The other thing I do like about Barry Mannering, despite being a bit of a drunkard, is a much more honest character than George Mannering. I think he's a more likeable character. I think I'd get on with him better.
He's flawed. I mean, all of the characters in Dad's Army have got slight flaws in them, but I think this guy is openly flawed and he doesn't care because he doesn't play a single scene sober. But
yes,
he's much more honest. As you say, he's much more open, and that is at complete odds with George Mannering, if you think about it, because everything with George Mannering is image. A lot of it is image, and it's covering up, you know, things that he would be embarrassed about, whereas Barry is the complete opposite of that. And you often hear us talk about the difference between Captain Square and Mannering, or even Hodges and Mannering. This is a different kind of opposite, if you know what I mean. It's because they are the same, but very different, if that makes sense.
A little bit of sense, yeah.
Thank you. But yeah, in terms of Arthur Lowe's acting, then this is brilliant, as far as I'm concerned. I think it's absolutely fantastic.
Yeah. It's some of his best.
A lot of it is drunk acting, and we've talked before about how well Arthur Lowe can portray drunk characters.
Fallen Idol. Yeah.
Oh, there's lots. I think there's lots of scenes that spring to mind. I can't think of all of the names of the episodes. But this one, to play a drunk character that you don't really know, I think he just pulls it off fantastically. So, what do you think of Fraser stirring up between the two brothers?
He loves the scandal, mm. And he wants Mannering exposed.
Exposed, yes. That's a highly overused word in this episode. To great effect, but he seems to be quite obsessed about exposing Captain Mannering. I, there's always a slight undertone between Fraser and Mannering, and I think he seems to take delight in bringing him down a peg or two.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's quite funny when Fraser meets Barry Mannering on the train, that you're looking at this guy Barry Mannering, and it's clearly Arthur Lowe. It's clearly, and yet he doesn't realise he's a Mannering until Barry Mannering says so.
No, I know what you mean. I thought that was probably stretching the imagination a little bit too far. He's just obviously Arthur Lowe looks very similar to Arthur Lowe in a wig. Yeah.
I've got a question for you. I've got a question for you, if I may. Have you got a favourite bit about Pike which sticks out during this episode?
Oh. There is actually one part, but it's going right back to the beginning.
Yes, yes.
It is. It's where Mannering says,
"You've let the side down, and I expect you're feeling pretty, pretty something about it."
And
pretty,
it's Pike's pretty rotten, I think.
Pretty rotten about it.
And it's Pike's reaction, where he just mouths no and shakes his head.
That's the bit I'm talking about.
Yeah, I think it's excellent. It's funny how we both thought the same thing. And it's funny, I've been listening to a couple of the special features on the Christmas Specials DVD with his features, and Jimmy Perry talks a lot about reaction humour and I'd never heard it termed like that before, but it's where a character comes out with a line, you know, that may be funny, you know, it may not be the height of hilarity, but the real laugh is gained when you actually focus on one of the character's reactions. And yeah. I think that is a brilliant example of it. The absolute clear example of it, you know, throughout all of Dad's Army, is the Don't Tell Him Pike line, which I know you're not particularly keen on, but I think Ian Lavender has said at times Jimmy Perry was directing, or David Croft was directing, and they said, "We want to come to you afterwards, Ian, for a reaction." And Pike said, "Don't do that," or Lavender said, "Please don't do that," because he couldn't stop laughing. And he said, to this day, if you look at that scene, you'll actually see him biting his lip because he can't he can't stop smiling, and he could not film the reaction without smiling because it was so hilarious. And he said he must have done it loads of times. So one of the other things which Perry also said was that he would have liked to have brought back Barry Mannering in a different episode, and he slightly regretted not doing so.
But of course, this Christmas special is happening between series 8 and 9. So there's only one more series anyway after this Christmas special, so he didn't have much chance.
It would have been hard. It would have been hard to do it, I suppose. But within a couple of series, like with 13, 14 episodes, whatever, I think they probably could have done. And I think he'd have been a welcome character. And would have given the series a little bit of continuity. As I said in the past, it hasn't got too much continuity. The actual structure of the episode is very generic, I think, even though it is 40 minutes long. It's very similar, in fact, to The Love of Three Oranges. If you think back to that conversation we had last week, Tony, essentially there's a slightly bizarre line-up scene, and then there's a preparation for a function. And that's exactly the same here. The only difference being is that you've got Barry Mannering thrown into the mix as well. And so the emphasis is put onto the introduction of that character rather than the actual sherry party in the evenings. So.
In terms of the scenes where it's filmed, you've got most of it in the church hall and the office. And there's just two other little scenes. And that's the one on the bit on the train that we've already spoken about. And Barry and George talking to each other in the bedroom of the Red Lion pub. So all the church hall and office, except for two little outside, well, sort of outside podcasts.
So, which is strange, because I think both the Christmas specials we've already spoken about, the Oranges, Love of Three Oranges, and this episode, have all been seen or internally set. I don't think there have been any location shooting, has there? I mean, because I think the train is in the studio.
It's all in the church hall and the office, with two little other scenes being the train and the bedroom at the Red Lion.
Indeed, yeah. And of course, you look at Battle of the Giants, whereas at least, I think it's 50% of that story is all set on location.
James, I'm hoping you'll be able to answer this, but when we see George and Barry Mannering together in the bedroom at the Red Lion, how is it that we see both men on screen at the same time when they're both acted by Arthur Lowe?
Yeah, I did wonder myself when I first saw this, and it was at the time it was highly advanced or brand new special effect technique, and it's called colour separation overlay, or CSO, and in America they call it chroma key. They take one shot of Arthur Lowe saying his lines as one character against a blue screen, and then they record another one and put the two together. And that's the reason why, if you look at those scenes where they are in the same shot, there's a slightly fuzzy image around Barry Mannering, and that's because it's a blue screen.
The only other thing I wanted to say about this episode was Barry and George Mannering have been fighting over this watch for most of the episode, or that's what the episode centres on. But at the very end, Mannering decides to give Barry the watch back anyway, just out of pure goodwill. So most of the episode is about George Mannering being a bit pompous and not a very nice character, actually, in this episode. But at the end, he redeems himself a bit by making sure that his brother gets the watch.
Yes, completely. I agree. I think fundamentally, whether or not Mannering has been, you know, less than completely straightforward in obtaining his father's watch, or you know, even if that has been the case, he obviously has mellowed over time, because he clearly did still have feelings for his brother, and he said at the end he didn't have very much, and it was very kind of him. And I think that was good. One, it showed Mannering's tender side, if you like, and secondly, you actually look at the way Wilson reacts to him, And I think it could be, well, part of the reason why Wilson has got a lot of time for Mannering, even though he does have a go at him quite a bit. In terms of scores then, Tony, out of 5, I think I know what's coming, but how many would you mark this?
5.
I would mark this 5.5.
That's not fair.
Out of 5. It's my podcast. No, I have marked one other episode of 5. I think that was A Soldier's Farewell. And it's always hard to try and, you know, bring out your favourite episode. Whenever, I mean, when people ask you, for instance, what your favourite episode is, presumably you have difficulty answering.
Yeah, I do, but having just scored it, that actually helps.
It does. I always have difficulty figuring out which is my favourite one, but normally it's either this or one or two others. And I would say this is definitely the pinnacle of my league table in terms of favourite episodes. So 5 out of 5 for me too. That's it for this podcast. Hope you enjoyed it. We'll be back early in the new year, where I'll be joined by Paul Carpenter, who will be sharing his thoughts on My Brother and I. And that will be just a very short, of about 15-minute, 20-minute podcast to keep your appetite whetted until the end of January, which is when Tony and I will be back with our next full podcast. And in the meantime, have a wonderful Christmas, have a very good new year, and we look forward to speaking to you very soon.
The only other comment I've got about this episode is they've been, Barry and George have been, Barry, is that a famous person, Barry George?
I've no idea.
You have to cut that bit out.
No.
Barry, okay. Sorry. I was thinking of Boy George. Right, can I start again?